and dumps into my system. Ricardo's attention is on the ocean in front of him, no doubt a route he's taken hundreds of times if he doesn't even need a light to find his own way, but still in the dark his attention is focused. I use the blackness, the wind, and the crash of the waves to cover my movements and any noise I make. Ricardo doesn't hear or feel me rise up to a standing position behind him, and that's his mistake. When I reach around and jerk the hook across his throat, he gurgles his last breath before he tips over the side and hits the water with a splash. The boat jerks to the side, slowing without a hand on the throttle. I grab the steering wheel and whip it around in what I hope is the opposite direction of where Ricardo was heading before hammering it down again. Looking up, I get my bearings with the North Star. I can't go back to Sweetwater, but I have to find the genie in a bottle island. There are over 1,000 tiny islands off the coast of Belize, and Kat is headed to one of them. The clock is ticking, and I have to find her before they move her again. I need my team. Some of the best former operators Uncle Sam ever trained are somewhere in Central America right now, and the best shot I have at getting Kat back. Anya told him to call. He has to have a phone. It better not have been in his fucking pocket. I slow down and, working by feel, open a compartment just under the helm. The first thing I touch is a flashlight. Praying for a stroke of good luck, I flip the switch. It turns on. Thank fuck. Ducking down, I shine it into the compartment. 2 small dry bags rest against the back wall. I grab them both. One contains a radio, not ideal, but better than nothing. The second one, bingo. A wallet, phone, lighter, and a pack of cigarettes. A human trafficker's basic essentials. There's only one thing missing. A gun. Opening the bag, I pull out the phone and dial a number I've had memorized for a decade.
Cabo Wabo Cantina, how can I help you?
A female voice answers. I need a cab. She pauses only a moment.
Can I ask who's calling?
Delta Charlie 174.
Hold, please, I'll transfer you.
A wave of relief sweeps through me when the next voice picks up.
I thought you were on a fucking vacation, DC.
I need the team. Someone took Kat.
Chapter 29. Kat. The vibration of the engine changes, and I take that as a clue we're turning and hopefully coming back near Sweetwater. My brilliant, okay, terrible, plan is ready for action. Carefully and with as little movement as possible, I've loosened the rope on my wrists, but not enough to free them. I'm still working at it, but I've run out of time. I focus on the stars above before I shift to see the lights coming from an island in the distance off to the left. It's so much farther away than I hoped. Thoughts of the shark in the water yesterday almost deter me, but what other choice do I have? Don't try to save myself? This might be my last chance. I say a quick prayer before rising to my feet and launching myself over the side. The men are already shouting when I break the surface of the water, and the drone of the motor silences immediately. Tugging hard at my wrists, I free one and then the other, and needles of sensation stab into me as I attempt to take my first stroke. Oh, fuck. I didn't plan on this. Being locked in one position has all my muscles freezing up when I try to use them. My thigh cramps as I kick. My lungs burning, and the roar of blood filling my ears, I keep kicking. Gotta get to the island. By sheer force of will, I start to stroke. There's a splash in the water. Someone else jumped in. Noise comes from behind me. Salt water stings my eyes as I focus on the light of the island and try to swim faster than whoever is coming after me. Something grabs my ankle and I kick out, hitting the person behind me. Vander? I don't even care. I stroke again and again, but I'm not fast enough. An arm wraps around my waist, yanking me back against a body.
You're gonna pay for this.
The voice belongs to the other man, not Vander. I thrash against his hold in the water. A wave crashes into us, and I inhale at the wrong moment. Coughing to try to expel the liquid, I lose all forward momentum. The motor starts again, coming closer.
Get her to the boat. I'll take her.
I kick and struggle, trying to escape his hold, but it's a losing battle. My elbow connects with his ribs, and the man grunts before burying his fingers in my hair and dragging me face down. Can't breathe. Finally, he lifts my head, and I suck in a breath just as he hands me off to Vander.
Fucking idiot. Could have killed yourself. Now I'm going to make sure you wish you had.
I struggle as Vander yanks me over the side and drops me onto the bottom of the boat. The other man climbs in, spilling water over me. Chills rack my body as I shake, not only with cold, but fear. What the hell are they going to do to me? Something, maybe a fist, connects with my jaw, and everything goes dark again.
She's fine. Real fine.
My head aches, pain coming from my temple this time, but through the pounding, I feel someone stroking my hair.
I like 'em blonde. And so do the rich dudes with money,
another voice says. This one is more familiar.
Fucking perverts. Probably gonna chain her up and fuck her until she can't take no more, then buy a new toy.
What the hell are they talking about? Who are they? Toy? What they're saying doesn't make any sense. I want nothing more than to let myself slip back into the darkness, but something keeps me from losing consciousness again. Fear. Where am I now? Think, think. It's almost impossible to force my brain beyond the suffocating terror. I've been kidnapped. This isn't a nightmare. This is real. Tears threaten to escape my lids, but I can't let them fall. Hold on, kitty cat. Just hold on. It's Benji's voice in my head this time, and it soothes me.
You got yourself into a clusterfuck of epic proportions. What you gonna do about it?
I'm losing my shit if I'm hearing a dead man talk to me, but his voice helps me pull it together. They were taking me to another island. They had to wait for someone.
Maybe no one will want her with that shiner, and we can keep her. Not a chance.
Vander stomps into the room, his tone harsh.
Get the hell away from her before I fucking kill you myself.
The hand in my hair disappears, and I keep my eyes closed.
Sorry, man. Never touched a real blonde. I hear she's got blue eyes, too. Get the hell out of this room. Now. Hey, I'm the one saving your ass while you wait for your boat. This is my island. I'm the king here, and no one talks to me like that.
A metallic click comes next, and I flick my eyes open because I can't identify the sound. Shit. A gun. Vander's hand is steady as he trains the pistol on the man standing a few feet from the bed I'm on.
For as long as I'm here, you answer to me or you die. Understand?
The man nods, and Vander's gaze shifts to me.
Ah, Katerina, you're finally awake.
False cheerfulness enters his voice, but it can't cover the malice.
Hopefully, you've learned your lesson on stupidity, so I don't have to injure you again. Damaged goods aren't nearly as valuable, and trust me, your life depends on you retaining your value.
I swallow back the lump rising in my throat. I don't know how to answer him. It seems Vander doesn't want or need an answer from me, because his attention cuts to the man at the other end of his gun.
I told you to get the hell out. Don't come back in here until we're gone.
Another man shifts behind Vander, and a flare of recognition shoots through me. Anton, the manager of Sweetwater Key who met us at the dock the day we arrived. My first thought is maybe he's here to save me, but that's naive. The set of his jaw tells me everything I need to know. He's in on it. How is that even possible? He won't meet my eyes, looking everywhere around the room except at me. Fucking coward. Was this all planned? My brain can't comprehend how anyone could possibly do this to another human being. Vander lowers the gun as the chastised man storms from the room. Once he's gone, Anton turns to follow him.
Keep him out of here, or you'll both regret it,
Vander says to Anton, who pauses but doesn't respond before following the other man through the doorway. Vander walks toward me slowly, tucking the gun out of sight behind him.
There are plenty of men who will pay more for the privilege of breaking a headstrong woman. You do not want me to sell you to one of them.
How could I ever have thought this man was remotely charming? Every word out of his mouth scares the living hell out of me. My voice shakes when I speak. Why are you doing this?
Why do you think?
I don't understand.
Money, Katerina. That's the best reason to do anything.
Why me? He crouches beside the bed and lifts a chunk of my tangled hair out of my face.
Ah. Haven't you ever heard the phrase, curiosity killed the cat? I feel like it applies here, Katerina. How much do you really know about your husband?
Chapter 30. Dane. Who the fuck took your wife? Rome Hennessy asks. His real name is Romeo, but I've seen him pull a gun on a man for using it. Some asshole named Vandery Mon and his bitch of a sidekick, Anya. I don't have anything else to go on. They separated us and tried to take me to the port in Belize City. I gotta get to Cat. I need the cavalry, man. I wouldn't ask if... You don't need to explain. We're wrapping up down south of you. Got the bird. Could take me a few hours to get your way, though. By down south, I hope to hell he means Guatemala or Honduras, because I don't have a fuck of a lot of time. As fast as you can, man, as fast as you can. Do you know what we're up against? Not really. She said something about a genie in a bottle island. I don't know where the fuck that is, or if that's what it's really called. Fuck. Then they're moving her to a boat. Don't know where, but apparently it's late. She mentioned the guys on Plan B needing a Plan C. Can you run that? Sure thing. Let me round up the crew and get shit wrapped up, and then we're on it. This is a good number for you? Only one I've got right now. I'll try to pull coordinates from the call and find you. Your vacation details in the system? Yeah, everything's there. We'll find you, man. We'll get her back. Don't do anything stupid that could fuck this up worse. He pauses. Not that you're going to listen to me, since you never fucking do. I don't have a choice. I'm not waiting. Would you if it was your woman? There's a reason I don't have a woman. Too many fucking enemies. There any chance this is coming out of the past, man? Maybe. Think that shit through while you're at it so we know who we're up against. I'll pull up my handy list of human traffickers and try to narrow it down on my end. Hold tight, DC, we're coming for you. Rome hangs up and I'm left in the same situation I was before, in a boat in the middle of a dark ocean with no fucking clue where my wife is. Except now my team, the one I walked away from, is coming. This time there's no way in hell I'll sit back and watch. 1 year ago.
He's gone.
Kat's voice came over the line in a broken sob, and instantly I was on edge. She had never called me crying before, and certainly not on my emergency number. Who's gone, baby?
Benji, he's dead.
Through hiccups and sobs, she told me what happened. He didn't want anyone to know he was sick. If he were here right now, I'd kill him for hurting her like this. Rome jerked his chin, calling me over to the screen where the faces of three American tourists stared back at me. The rest of the team was ready to get final orders so we could move out. Except I knew there was no fucking way I could do anything but get my ass to the States and Cat. I have to be there for her. I thought back to when Benji tracked me down in the bar a couple of months back. Fucker was trying to warn me. It all made sense. I'll be there in 5 hours, baby. I'm so fucking sorry. I wish I was already there.
Are you sure? I know you're busy.
5 hours. I'll be there.
Okay.
She sniffled before she hung up. I shoved the phone back into my pocket and crossed the room to Rome. With one more look at the husband, wife, and 6-year-old boy on the screen being held for ransom by the cartel, I shook my head. I'm so fucking sorry, but I gotta go. Cat's best friend is dead. He was like a brother. She's shattered, man. Rome nodded. Family comes first. At least yours does. Go. You sure you got this? He crossed his arms. Of course we do. He turned and looked at a dark-haired man sitting at a computer in this shitty borrowed office space in Mexico City. Luis will take your spot, won't you, Luis? Luis had been begging to get into the field for months. Maybe it would be okay. He would hang back and let the guys do the job and provide backup if needed. Luis shot out of his chair. Hell yeah, I will. I'm ready. Let's do this. See? Rome said. We got it covered. Get your ass home to your wife. 45 minutes later, I arrived at the gate where my flight would board. 10 minutes to go. I pulled out my iPad, connected to my encrypted network so I could watch the feeds from the headsets the guys wore, and plugged in my earbuds to hear the comm chatter. But when I pulled up the screen, instead of seeing a smooth extraction, all hell was breaking loose. Taking fire! Get the fuck out! Get to the exfil location! Rome must have been in the lead, jogging through the jungle. Tanner was next, then the husband and wife, and Luis carrying the kid. Concord and Fields took positions at the rear and fired back at the cartel assholes who had just got fucked out of the ransom. The clients slowed, the husband and wife not up to sustaining this kind of pace, but Tanner kept up with Rome. Gunfire came out of the jungle to the left, and Luis yelled for them to follow him. He took the kid and ran down a game trail. Fuck. Tanner turned when he heard the gunshots and Luis's yell. He laid down fire before going after them. Tanner yelled and Luis turned his head, missing what he should have seen right in front of him. I watched on both feeds simultaneously as the unthinkable happened. Luis went over the edge of some kind of hole. A sinkhole? The kid screamed and Luis cursed. His feed went black. Tanner's camera caught the wife as she threw herself over the edge after them. The husband yelled out in agony as Tanner bolted toward her, but was too late. When Tanner looked over the edge, three bodies lay at the bottom of a gaping hole in the jungle floor. LP is down, so are packages 2 and 3. I repeat, LP is down, so are packages 2 and 3. The cartel reloaded and sprayed bullets in Tanner's direction. He dived at the husband and covered him. I'm hit, he yelled, but it didn't stop him from firing back. Concord, Fields, and Rome came into view, firing and eliminating the threat. Speakers above me announced my flight was boarding, but I couldn't move. Two clients and Luis. Tanner got hit. I should have been there. It should have been me. I wouldn't have let this happen. I waited for the last call for boarding because I had to force myself to watch as Rome and Concord rappelled down to retrieve the bodies. I shouldn't have left my team. I walked out on them, and for the first time in the history of Rome's outfit, they lost not one but three lives on a mission. None of the team came out and said it was my fault, but I shouldered the blame all the same. Rome gave me 3 weeks before he asked when I was coming back in the field. When I told him never, he was stunned at first, but I think he finally understood. I didn't deserve to be there with them. So I sentenced myself to purgatory, watching over missions and handling everything that needed to be covered from the States. Tanner called, Concord called, Fields called. I didn't pick up any of them. I knew they'd just want me to come back, and I couldn't. Present day. Rome probably shouldn't have answered my call just now, but I'm thanking God he did. It's time I make peace with all of it, but first I need Cat. Genie in a bottle island. I don't know what the hell that means, and my only shot is finding a local who does. Belizeans have fished these waters for generations, and plenty of them know all the islands by name. I pick out the nearest island with the most lights and move in. It's not Sweetwater, though. The resort must be close, but I'm not going back there. There's no telling how many of the employees are in on it, and I wouldn't trust them to tell me where anything is, even with a gun to their heads. I throttle back the engine as a large, bright yellow vacation house on stilts with white trim and a red tile roof comes into view. Dozens of solar lights illuminate both the main house and a smaller matching caretaker house sitting about 50 feet from the dock, where a boat like the one I'm driving is tied up. Someone is definitely here, and I'd lay money on it being the caretaker and not the owners, given that it's low season. You can't have an island in these parts without a caretaker if you want to make sure what you leave on the island is still there when you get back. I rev the engine to hopefully wake whoever is in the smaller house. When I approach the dock, a set of motion lights come on at the end. The interior of my boat is lit up, revealing splatters and smears of blood, as well as the asshole's hat that escaped the carnage. I reach for the hat and pull it on before picking up the line attached to the stern and pulling closer to the moored skiff. Hey! Hey, you better not be fucking stealing anything out of my boat! I got a gun! A man bursts out of the caretaker house and jogs down the dock, the gun he warned me about in his hand. I turn the boat so the side with the name and the engine slide through the shafts of light. Not only do locals know the islands, they know the boats by sight, too. It's a gamble, but one that pays off. Ricardo, that you? What the fuck you doing out here in the middle of the goddamned night? Don't tell me you're trying to find packages in the water again. You were supposed to tell me when the runs were happening. We agreed we'd split whatever you found. Under his breath, he mumbles, fucking asshole. His little speech tells me a hell of a lot about the man I killed and the one approaching me. Both are willing to do whatever they have to do for money. I don't fault either man for eking out a living in a country where poverty is endemic, but I do fault them for crossing the line into human trafficking. Those fuckers can go straight to hell. I shift into phase two of my plan by tossing him the stern line. He catches it and pulls me in. Too close and he'll realize I'm not Ricardo. If we're gonna go chasing drug runners around, I need my shit. Some warning would have been nice. With both hands, I yank the stern line back and the man loses his balance, falling forward off the dock and landing half in and half out of the boat. His gun clatters across the fiberglass floor. What the? Jumping over to where he landed, I grip him by the collar of his shirt, jerk him up, and deliver a right cross to his jaw. His entire body goes limp. Good. Chancing that no one else is coming after him, I use the stern line to tie him up, ankles and wrists together. I'm not fucking around. Shifting the boat into gear, I get far enough away from the island so that no one will hear him yell. After I put the engine in neutral, I flip on the flashlight. He's out cold, but not for long. I didn't even hit him that hard. Glass-jawed, wannabe drug runner, package recovery expert. I retrieve the gun, a shitty 9mm pistol that's only a step above not having one at all, and tuck it into the back of my shorts before reaching over the side to scoop up some salt water and splash it on his face. He sputters back to consciousness. What the fuck, man? I shine the flashlight beam at my own face for a beat and then back at his. I'm not fucking Ricardo. Right now, I'm your best friend if you help me, or your worst fucking nightmare if you don't. What? Don't ask another motherfucking question if you want to live. Get me? His mouth slams shut so fast his teeth clack together. Good. Now you're going to help me find an island, and if you don't fuck me over, you get to live. He squints into the bright beam of the flashlight. Okay. Okay, Jesus, just don't fucking kill me. I didn't do anything. Genie in a Bottle Island. Where is it? Genie in a Bottle Island? There isn't one. I haul him up by the collar again. Are you fucking sure? Been fishing these waters my whole life. Know them all. Genie in a Bottle... Wait, Genie Key? The research island? Thank fucking Christ. I might finally get a break. Where is it? Close? He nods. Yeah, I can get you there, man. I can. No problem. Don't have to kill me. We'll be all good. I stare into his eyes, hoping he understands exactly how serious I am. I have general directions to get to it. You point me in the wrong direction, and you'll be dead before you hit the water. You do me right, and I'll make sure you're taken care of, and you'll never hear from me again. He nods violently. I get you. Not gonna fuck you over. I know the caretaker over there, and he's a dick. Tried to rape my cousin. I sure as fuck don't owe him anything. Well, that's one point in his favor. I grab him by the shoulders and haul him up to sit in front of the center console where the steering wheel is mounted and turn off the flashlight. Which way? There any lights to use to guide me? The man looks out into the distance, waiting a few moments, presumably to let his eyes adjust, and then points in the direction I would assume Sweetwater is located. See right there? That cluster of lights, and then the gap, and then the next cluster? Green light further out? Yeah, I see it. That's Sweetwater Key, fancy resort. We need to head that way. The directions jibe with what Anya said. And after that? Then we're gonna go a little right, head toward the cell tower in Dangriga. We should be able to see by then if the clouds ain't too bad. About 10 minutes after that, you'll see the lights of Genie Key. They got a little research station set up off the beach of the island, so the lights are separate. You can tell them in the dark. My gut says he's telling the truth, so I go with it. Okay, hold on. I slam the throttle down and we rocket out of the choppy water in the direction of Sweetwater's lights. More than anything, I want to go back to the island and drag Anya along by the hair to make a trade. But if Vander is the kind of man I think he is, the cost of human life means nothing to him. He'd just as soon shoot her himself. Piece of shit bastard. The thought of what he could be doing to Cat has me drawing on every bit of horsepower this engine has. I'm coming for you, baby.
Chapter 31 Cat. The room is empty. And by empty, I mean empty. There's a bed with sheets that appear relatively clean, but nothing else. No bamboo stool to use as a weapon, even if my hands weren't bound. Nothing. I curl up on the bed that's tucked into the corner of the room, my head still aching from however they knocked me out. Where did they take Dane? What are they doing to him? I squeeze my knees tighter, curling into a smaller ball as I try to hold it together. Vander's words keep haunting me. There are plenty of men who will pay more for the privilege of breaking a headstrong woman. Is this really my future? It can't be possible. The door creaks open, and the man from before, the one who was petting my hair, slides inside and shuts and locks it behind him. His expression unleashes a sluice of ice water through me. Untangling my bound arms from where they're wrapped around my knees, I scramble off the bed, ready to use both hands to club him across the face if I have to. Get out! He told you to stay out! He ain't the boss of me. This is my island. He'll kill you if you touch me! Given the fact that Vander doesn't have any problem with kidnapping, I'm going to bet he wouldn't shy away from murder. Might be worth it. I open my mouth and scream, but at the piercing sound he strides toward me, his hands out. I spin out of his reach, run for the door, and fumble with the lock. The weight of him crashes into me from behind, slamming my face against the wooden panel. His hand comes around my head and covers my mouth, cutting off my ability to breathe and scream. I struggle against his hold, my lungs burning for air. My elbows barely make contact. I kick backward, trying to land a blow to his knee. His hot breath touches my ear when he speaks.
The girls that come here, they think they're better than me. Oh, they're real nice and they flirt a little, but when I get a little closer, they shy away. I've wanted me some American pussy for too fucking long, and I'm not passing up a chance to get a taste of you. You're gonna be real nice. You're not gonna fucking scream again, are you? Because I'll snap your neck at the first fucking squeak.
Black spots speckle the edges of my vision, and my lungs are on fire. I need air. I shake my head, agreeing to be quiet, even though it's a lie. If I can breathe, I can scream.
Good.
He moves his hand away from where it covers my nose and mouth to wrap around my throat, and I gulp in a breath, my chest heaving.
You're gonna be real nice to me.
He yanks me back away from the door, sliding his free hand down to cover my breast, squeezing hard before loosening his grip to pinch the nipple. Bile rises in my throat, and my skin crawls at his touch and the bulge pressed against my ass. His lips hit my neck, hot and slimy as he moans.
Gonna make this real good. Gonna eat that pussy better than you've ever had, and you're gonna take my cock everywhere I want.
He swings me around with stumbling steps, walks us toward the bed. No, my brain yells. No! He shoves me forward and I fall face down onto the bed. No fucking way. I flip onto my back and lift both feet high to catch him in the stomach as he comes toward me. Using every ounce of power I have, I launch him back, and he falls on his ass.
Oh, you fucking...
I scream as loud as I can, the ear-splitting sound impossible to miss. Someone pounds on the door and the handle jiggles.
Open this fucking door!
It's Vander. The door flies open moments later, and Vander steps into the room, gun in hand. He points it at the man on the floor and squeezes the trigger. This time, my scream is louder. Blood and flesh explode as I turn away and shield my face. The man's body falls to the floor with a thump.
Shut the fuck up, Cat. You should be thanking me that I didn't let this piece of shit rape you.
Chapter 32 Dane. The lights of Sweetwater become larger as we near, and when we're several hundred yards away, I slow. My unwilling navigator is already pointing off in the distance. See the light high in the air there? That's the tower in Dangriga. We need to bear right and head that way. You sure? Of course I'm fucking sure. You better be. Tell me when you see the lights of Genie Key. I jam the throttle down again and turn right before heading straight toward the light on the tower. About 10 minutes later, the man yells and I slow again. What? See the lights? The red one there? My eyes search the darkness until I find the red light. That's a buoy. The research station in front of Genie Key. All those other lights are on the island. Now that I know where I'm looking, it's lit up like the circuses in town. Even more lights than the vacation home island I plucked this guy from. But I can't just go driving up to their dock like I did his. I need a plan. It seems my navigator is of the same opinion. You need a distraction. I'm assuming there's something on that island you want real fucking bad. I weigh my options and go with telling the truth. My wife. He releases a breath. Fuck, man. She run off? Someone took her. Both his eyebrows go up. Shit. Okay, so you got a plan? I think about the guy in front of me, and the fact that I promised I wouldn't kill him if he helped me. I didn't promise him he wouldn't get injured, though. Maybe it makes me an asshole, but I don't care. I might. Good, because you're gonna need it. That place is lit up. What's on the other side of the island? Where can I go in without being seen? They cleared most of the mangrove and filled it in with sand so they could build cabanas for the researchers. If I were holding your wife, I'd put her in one of those. Give me the layout. There's a main house in the middle, then there are probably six or so cabanas spread out closer to the shore. On the beach near where the buoy sits, there's an equipment shed. Your best bet is going in near one of the cabanas. So I go in around the back. You only got a few minutes before someone realizes you're there, because it's small and open. With all those lights, they'll see you coming, for sure. I actually did well with my kidnapping, because this guy knows his shit. That's where you come in. He gives me a hesitant look. What the fuck do you mean, me?
You're the diversion. Oh, no, man, I didn't sign up for this shit. I didn't sign up for any of it. I don't need to get dead tonight. My expression turns hard, and I hope he realizes just how serious I am. You don't help me, you're definitely getting dead. You do help me, and I'll find a way to make sure you get compensated. His gaze narrows. You're fucking crazy, you know that, right? I don't have time to argue with him. Which is why you don't want to piss me off. I'm getting off around the backside of the island, then you're gonna take the boat and crash it. His eyes bulge. Crash it? No fucking way! You'll be fine as long as you dive off before it blows. He calls me a crazy motherfucker a half dozen times as we motor in as close to the island as we can get without drawing attention. I turn off the engine, and we paddle the rest of the way. I untie him so he can help, but keep the gun close at hand. Once we're close enough for me to swim to the beach, I take off my shirt and cut it into a few long strips. Opening the red plastic gas tank, I shove one end of the strips inside and pull them out when they're soaked. I loosen the hose leading to the engine and tie the end around it, before reaching into the compartment below the helm and pulling out the dry bag with the lighter and the cigarettes. He shakes his head at what I'm doing. You're gonna kill me. No way that thing doesn't explode before I get there. It'll take a minute for the flame to work its way up the fabric to the hose, and for the gas inside the hose to ignite. I'm mostly sure about that. This isn't rocket science. All you have to do is point the boat at the beach, make sure the throttle is tied down, and dive off before it gets there. The gas will do the rest. At least I really fucking hope so. It's been a while since I rigged explosives, and it was never my best skill. If I get dead, I'm gonna haunt your ass. You don't go through with the plan, and I'm going to hunt you down and make me wish I'm dead before you kill me. Got it. I flick the lighter and nothing happens. Fuck. This whole diversion rests on a shitty lighter that might not work. Give it to me. I hand it over to him, and he shakes it and smacks it against the side before trying again. Flame. Thank God. I tuck the gun into the dry bag and seal it up before tying it to my shorts. The knife goes in my cargo pocket. My heartbeat slows, just like it would before I'd rappelled on the ropes from a chopper. I got this. This is what I do. This is in my blood. This is who I fucking am. No one takes my wife from me. I grab the lighter from him and ignite the hem of the gas-soaked shirt. It catches immediately and I slip over the edge. You better fucking go. He gives me a nod. Good luck. That's when we hear a gunshot and the screams.
Chapter 33. Cat. Someone screams uncontrollably, and until Vander stomps across the room and grabs me by the hair, I don't realize it's me.
Shut the fuck up. You want to scream. I can give you a reason to scream.
He drags me out of the one-room hut onto a sandy beach, pausing when the sound of an engine comes roaring out of the distance. Anton is nowhere in sight.
What the fuck?
The vessel flies toward us, and a man tumbles over the side. Vander shoves me to the ground before it hits the shore with a crack. For a moment, the motor continues running, digging into the sand. Vander rises to a crouch, taking a step toward the shore, and then all hell breaks loose. The boat explodes, sending flames streaking into the sky and fiberglass pieces flying everywhere. I huddle into a ball on the beach as Vander takes a chunk of something to the head, knocking him to his knees again. And then the impossible happens. I hear Dane's voice.
Cat.
I turn and see him running toward me, wearing no shirt, his face bruised. As soon as I have my wits, I spring to my feet and race toward him, only to be stopped mid-dash by the percussion of gunshots and sand flying around my feet.
Take another step, and the next one is in your kneecap,
Vander says. Dane's reaching behind his back when Anton appears from the darkness, a wooden club in hand.
Watch out!
I scream. Dane swings to the side, and the blow glances off his head instead of hitting him straight on. Anton moves to swing again, but Dane tackles him to the ground. Vander's hand tangles in my hair, jerking me back against his body. The hot barrel of the gun presses into my temple as Dane lands blow after blow on Anton's face.
You want to watch her die, Cross?
Dane sits up, Anton pinned beneath him, but his attention turns to me.
I will shoot her in the fucking head.
Let her go!
Vander laughs, sounding like a deranged movie villain.
Not a fucking chance. I will kill you! Not before I kill her. Put your hands up, now.
When Dane hesitates, Vander digs the barrel of the gun into my head.
I'm not fucking around, Cross. I will pull this fucking trigger, and I'll still get paid. Do not push me. Who's paying you? Doesn't fucking matter anymore, because instead of sending you alive, I'll just send your head. I'll take a hit, but it'll still be a fat payday.
Something flashes over Dane's face too quickly for me to interpret. Who the hell would pay him?
Benitez,
Dane says, tossing out a name I've never heard. Vander laughs again.
Try again. Vargas. And on the second try, we have a winner.
This name doesn't mean anything to me either, but from the way Dane stiffens, it obviously does to him.
Now put your fucking hands up.
Dane moves like he's about to comply, but instead his hands go behind his back. He pulls a gun and squeezes the trigger. Click. Vander yanks the gun away from my head and throws me to the ground before firing at him. As I roll in the sand, I see Dane's body jerk back with the impact, and I scream.
Should have checked your gun first. A year out of the field and you're a fucking amateur again.
My ears are ringing from the shot, but Vander snatches me by the hair before I can bolt toward my husband.
Get him up. On his fucking knees.
Anton wrenches Dane up into a kneeling position. Blood smears his upper arm, but I can't tell where the wound is. Once again, Vander presses the barrel into my temple. Tears track down my face as Dane's dark gaze meets mine. There's no pain, no fear, just regret. And then it becomes something else. Rage. His eyes burn with it. Anton pulls a wicked-looking blade from a sheath at his side, one that looks more suited to filleting fish than anything else, and holds it to Dane's throat.
Spent the last hour sharpening it myself. You move, and it'll slice right through.
Anton's eye is swelling shut, and he spits. A red glob lands in the sand.
I won't feel bad about it either.
What is wrong with these people? Dane's gun lies on the beach in front of him, just out of reach.
I get more if he's alive. Vargas wants to do the honors, but if he moves, fucking kill him.
Dane jerks forward, and blood spills down his throat as the blade cuts into his skin. His nostrils flare, the rage burning hotter.
Why take her? Why not just me? Because I increase my profit margins with her, and there are no pesky loose ends,
Vander says with a note of twisted humor.
You know enough about me to know that there's always someone coming next. They won't stop until you're dead. I'll be long gone. I'm not afraid of your little band of commandos.
His tone turns darker.
And your wife will never be seen or heard from again. I already have buyers lined up to bid for her. You'll die knowing you couldn't save her. The most important mission of your life, and you fucked up. Pitiful excuse for a mercenary.
A battle cry comes from behind Vander, stealing his attention away from Dane. A man charges him, but Vander is too quick. The gun leaves my head, and two shots are fired into the man's chest, dropping him to the sand.
Chapter 34. Dane. My unwilling helper takes two bullets, and there's not shit I can do to help him. I wrap a hand around Anton's wrist and snap it backward, breaking bones until the knife falls to the ground. The sound of another boat coming toward the island sends a shaft of unease down my spine, but all I care about is getting to Kat. I grab Anton's knife and charge toward Vander. Only a few feet of sand separate us when he turns toward me, the barrel raised, his finger on the trigger. I brace for the impact, but it doesn't come from him. The sound of automatic weapon fire rips through the darkness as hot lead hits my thigh and I stumble to my knees. Sand flies up all around me from the impact of bullets. Vander spins around and yells, "Don't fucking kill him yet, you idiots!" Three men splash into the water and race up on the beach, all holding AKs. Any plans I had of taking out Vander and getting the hell out of here with Kat are just as fucked as this rescue attempt. Vander stalks over to me and swings, the butt of the pistol catching me on the cheekbone, whipping my head sideways.
No!
Kat screams. Her anguished tone guts me as she crawls across the sand, tears spilling down her bruised face. Vander brings the barrel to my head and she freezes. I failed. I fucking failed. Forget her. She's not yours anymore. The fuck she isn't. Always and forever. I say it for Kat, but it doesn't soothe the despair in her tear-filled eyes. I failed her. In a hoarse whisper, she repeats it back to me.
Always and forever.
Fucking precious, but you're both wrong. Vander swings the pistol again, and then I feel nothing at all.
Chapter 35. Kat.
No! I scream in a hoarse voice as Dane's body falls forward, landing face down in the sand. I'm silenced by the back of Vander's hand. A man in a black shirt and pressed khaki pants stalks toward us. All I can focus on are the knife-like pleats in his khakis as my brain reels, unable to process everything that just happened. My face throbs, but all I want is to crawl to where Dane lies unconscious in the sand. Never before in my life have I ever wanted to live more than I do right now. Vander snaps out his orders.
Take her to the boat. We're leaving. What about him, sir? Jan and Bourne stay with him. Arrange for another pickup. Right the fuck now. Get him to the port for the handoff yourselves. No more fuck-ups by the locals.
Yes, sir.
Anton rises to his feet.
Ain't my fault.
Vander points the gun at him, and with one shot to the head, Anton goes down. I squeeze my eyes closed, wishing I could unsee what I just saw. All of it. I want to rewind. This can't be real. The man in the black polo shirt reaches for me, and I pull away. It doesn't matter, though. He jerks me to my feet by the bindings on my wrists. My arms feel like they're being torn from the sockets.
Try not to break her. Buyers pay less for damaged goods.
Two other men close in on Dane. They each grab an arm and drag him through the sand, still face down. Vander stops beside me.
Get a good look, Kat, because that's the last time you're ever going to see your husband. The man I'm going to deliver him to will torture him for days before he finally ends him.
A ghastly smile stretches over his face. I stumble as the man takes me toward the boat and away from Dane.
Why? Why would you do this?
Your husband pissed off the wrong member of the cartel. Walked right into his house and helped his wife disappear and never come back. He needs to restore his honor, and since he can't find his wife, he's taking it out on your husband and generously compensating the person who delivers him. You're lucky he didn't ask for you. He has no more patience for women, and only wants revenge.
Prickles of fear trail down my spine, and part of me wishes that the man had asked for us both. At least then, we'd die together. How morbid. My thoughts are cut off when I'm picked up, tossed over a shoulder, and carried the rest of the way to a speedboat. Vander follows behind us, and they both jump in. I'm dropped on a thickly cushioned bench seat, and Vander advances toward me with a rope. I lift my knees, ready to kick out, but he's already got it looped around my ankles and cinches it tight.
You jump out of this one, and I swear to God I will let you drown.
He turns to the other man, who fires up the engine.
Hurry the fuck up so we can get back on schedule. I want to be out of Belizean waters as soon as possible.
Yes, sir.
We pull away from the dock, and my gaze goes to the beach where I last saw my husband. My husband, the mercenary. Right now, I could forgive him for anything if he'd walk down this dock, sweep me up, and take us both away from here. But the only traces that remain of him are drag marks and dark stains in the sand from his blood, like the red petals that dotted the aisle on our wedding day. 2 years ago. I hadn't spent much time thinking about weddings when I was younger, but I'd always assumed my dad would walk me down the aisle. After he left my mom, and then she passed, I knew I would never do the conventional thing. That was why I was standing beneath a pergola, waiting for the signal that it was time for me to make my way down the beach alone, to the man who was going to be my husband. Even though it was just the two of us, with no guests, the wedding coordinator at the small resort had a plan to make it beautiful and memorable. A waiter, who appeared much too brawny for his polo shirt, watched me from the periphery of the restaurant. He was the biggest guy I'd seen in Costa Rica since we got here, even bigger than Dane. With his blue eyes, he didn't look like a native, but what did I know?
I glance toward the pool, and the most masculine and beautiful gay couple lay on the loungers, arguing because one wouldn't put sunscreen on the back of the other. They both looked like they could have walked onto the screen of a Hollywood action flick and not been out of place. A few couples gathered near the gazebo where Dane waited for me, and the wedding coordinator gave me the sign to begin. I was so focused on my husband-to-be, I almost didn't notice the fit blonde man trying to blend in behind three younger girls. Dane, in his white linen shirt and tan pants, stood in the middle of the gazebo as the sun sank into the ocean. The sand in front of me was dotted with red petals from some sort of native flower I couldn't remember the name of. My hair blew in the breeze, as did my short white dress. My heart pounded harder as I got closer to him. Had I looked down at where I was walking, I would have seen the step, but I didn't. Instead, I tripped on the concrete, dropping my bouquet, but Dane caught me before I fell flat on my face. The officiant coughed behind his Bible.
Careful, baby. Can't be getting married with skinned knees.
I was distracted.
By what?
Dane asked. You. A brilliant smile stretched across Dane's face, and he leaned down to press a kiss to my forehead.
Let's get married.
Chapter 36. Dane. Present day. A slap to my face awakens me, and I roll over, baring my teeth.
Whoa, brother. The voice is familiar. Am I fucking dreaming? I blink to adjust to the bright light. He's gonna need more than a field dressing. He needs a fucking hospital.
My vision clears, and faces I recognize hover over me. Faces that haunt my dreams, asking me why I abandoned them.
Two guys,
I croak, my throat burning.
With AKs, got them. They're down. The perimeter is secure. No one's getting the drop on us.
Rome Hennessy cuts through the rope, tying my ankles first, and then my hands.
The fuck happened here? We got two dead bodies, another guy barely hanging on, and I'm not sure whether he's good, bad, or indifferent. Give me a sit rep, DC.
Tanner drops the first aid kit next to me on the floor.
Don't fucking worry about me. You gotta go after them. They've got Kat, taking her to a boat.
We'll get her. We can't be far behind. One of the bodies is still warm.
Tanner shoots a look at Rome.
It's the fucking tropics. Of course it's warm.
Whatever, he hasn't been dead long.
Then fucking go!
I try to yell, but my voice is wrecked. I know you've been gone for a year, but we're still of the leave no man behind philosophy. We'll get you patched up and we'll figure out a plan. We're not walking into this blind, which is what I'm guessing you did here.
The shame of my fucked up rescue attempt eats at me like acid.
I had a plan. It went balls up.
I told you to wait for us.
I meet Rome's gaze.
I don't wait when it comes to Kat. Pain burns through my arm as Tanner swabs it with antiseptic.
Lucky news, this one's a through and through, but...
He shifts to look at my leg.
I'm gonna have to dig this one out of your leg, and it's going to fucking suck. We need to get in the air, now.
We're here by water, gotta take a boat to the chopper. Next time you want to be rescued by air, pick a fucking place where a chopper can land.
Tanner spends the next 10 minutes supergluing the cut on my throat, digging a bullet out of my leg, dumping quick clot on it, and then slapping duct tape across both gunshot wounds.
That's as good as we can do until you get your ass to a hospital.
Rome stands and cracks his neck from side to side. Now we talk about how we're getting your woman back. My unwilling assistant in my shit-ass rescue plan isn't dead. While Rome draws plans on the beach with a big stick, Tanner pulls two bullets from the guy's chest and patches him up well enough that we're pretty sure he isn't going to die.
Can't kill old Julius so easy, he tells me when they load him up first.
He's along for the ride, although we gave him the option of staying on the island and radioing a friend for help. He took one look at the carnage and chose to come along rather than try to explain what happened there.
Whoever lands on Genie Key next is going to get a hell of an unpleasant surprise.
We push off the dock in a black hard-bottom Zodiac favored by Force Recon. Where the fuck Rome found it in Belize, I have no idea.
You didn't fly this boat here under the chopper, did you?
I ask as I take a seat up toward the bow.
Fuck no. You just gotta know who to call when you need a favor, he says as he fires up the engine.
Concord trails in a few minutes behind Tanner, Rome, and me. He tosses a wallet toward Rome.
Only got one ID. Fucker forgot to leave his wallet home. Rookie mistake.
Rome nods and hands it back to him.
Call it in. Have Neela run it.
That gets my attention. You're not using Ariana? Rome shakes his head. Thought she decided to take a vacation right along with you. She's been radio silent since you left. What the fuck? That doesn't seem right, but I don't have a chance to think more about it because at 100 yards out to sea, an explosion on the island we've just left behind rips through the lightning sky. Rome lets off the throttle and all of us look back at the structures, now going up in flames. Everyone looks surprised except Concord. The fuck did you do? Took care of the evidence? Rome laughs. Rigged explosives? Y'all don't call me the cleanup crew for nothing. Rome shrugs and buries the throttle again, taking us toward whatever island they managed to land the chopper on. Tanner is watching my leg and the blood seeping out from beneath the black duct tape. You need a hospital, man. You might have clipped something. He yells over the wind and engine noise. I give him a shake of my head. It can wait. Just saying, we get your woman, then you get that taken care of quick. Rome approaches a long island and cuts to the right, taking us around the side opposite from the reef, facing the mainland. It takes several moments before I see the chopper. It's covered with old army netting that might have been used in the jungles of Vietnam. Apparently it doubles as camo with the mangroves of Belize, too. Sunlight is breaking over the horizon, and I'm trying to figure out how much of a head start Vander has. But by air, we've got the advantage. What looks like a signal mirror flashes at us, and Rome turns hard to head for the side of the dock not taken up by a boathouse, only letting off the throttle when I'm pretty sure he's going to beach us. Who else is here? Rome's crew expands at a slow rate, because he's picky as fuck about who he brings into the operation. People he can trust. People who can handle the kind of paydays we get without getting even greedier for more. Mercenary work pays well, but coming from a shit-ass military salary, not all the guys know how to handle the money. For years, I just banked it. Never in the U.S., always in foreign accounts. Fields is here. He drew the short straw and had to babysit the bird while we came to get your ass and dig into the intel on your Vander dick. By the way, Vander Iman doesn't exist. Leo Fields is an ex-Navy SEAL, so I'm sure being the odd man out on a rescue operation happening via water pissed him off to no end. I know for a fact that he hates sorting through intel more than anything. He comes down the dock before we tie up. Thought you could handle yourself, huh, asshole? What the fuck were you doing getting caught up in a mess of shit on your damn honeymoon? It wasn't my fucking honeymoon. Whatever, anniversary vacation. How did you not clock that shit? I could give them all the excuses in the world, but it doesn't matter. What's done is done. Everything that happens to Cat is on my head. Every fucking thing. He offers a hand and I clasp it halfway up his arm. It's good to see you, brother. Been too long. We miss your ass out there. Not the same just hearing your sexy voice over the comms. Same to you. Your jokes aren't the same from hundreds of miles away. As Leo tugs me up onto the dock, a hiss escapes my lips at the pressure on my leg when I stand. Shit, dude, what the fuck happened to you? Vargas. He's the one who sent this Vander Iman after me. Apparently he's decided now is the time for revenge. We scrambled the security footage, but if he somehow managed to get it back, watching you lead his wife out of the house would burn his pride something fierce. I was also the one who arranged for her to be accepted into an international women's agency that provides new identities for narco wives and women escaping terrorist leaders and mafia. So if anyone deserves his anger, it's me. The other guys didn't know that detail. They just knew that she disappeared. In our line of work, you don't ask questions. Somehow Vargas must have found out, though. None of that shit matters. Only Cat. Still pissed you only let us watch your wedding from the fringes, pretending we didn't know your ass. What the fuck kind of brotherhood is that? You still haven't told her, have you? I shake my head. It wasn't personal. Concord and Tanner help haul Julius out. Rome stops beside us on the dock. You bitches done catching up on what happened over the summer? Because we got a motherfucking rescue to execute. Let's fucking do this. Hell yeah. Bird is ready to fly, we're refueled and good to go. We head toward the massive house that sprawls along the island with some large outbuildings, toward what I can see now is a helipad. Who the hell owns this place? My gaze cuts to Rome. Or don't I want to know? Head of a deposed authoritarian government who has recently decided to adopt Buddhism and turn over a new leaf before he dies. Don't worry, man. Rosh rarely comes here. He just keeps it outfitted in case he has to stage another coup. Rome's connections never cease to amaze me. Then where can I get some gear? I'm ready. Right this way, man. Leo waves us toward the house, and I follow him inside. After trailing him through a series of secret hallways, we end up in what looks like a bunker prepped for a nuclear holocaust. I pull on black fatigues, boots, body armor, a comm, and enough hardware to sink a small armada. Locked and loaded? Let's move. Good. I'm getting antsy. Haven't shot a gun in almost 8 hours, Field says. Because I was out of the office and Rome was using the Central American base to run ops while I was gone, I have no clue what mission they took on when I left. At this point, I don't give a shit about anything but climbing in that bird and going after Cat. Julius is on the couch in the living room when we get there. You gonna be okay? I ask. He nods.